He was the chairman of the U.S. House Committee on Small Business from 2001 to 2006. He sits on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, where he is the top Republican on the Subcommittee on Asia, the Pacific, and Global Environment. That's important to me. I lived in Asia for 22 years. I'd like to hear the congressman's views on trade with Asia. He serves on the Financial Services Committee. He has a passion for strengthening manufacturing in America and job creation right here at home, another thing near and dear to my heart. He has worked with China and other manipulators of trade to level the playing field for American exporters. And I'd also like to point out he is recognized as a taxpayer's hero by the Citizens Against Government Waste. Welcome to the Neil Asbury Show, Congressman.
Good to be with you, Neil and Rich.
You know, I've studied your body of work over the last couple of days, and you've really had some fascinating stuff going on. You had the interview with, Rachel Maddow?
Rachel Maddow.
Oh, wow, that was interesting.
Was she? And yeah, she's the liberal lady on MSNBC.
Liberal, I don't think quite defines
it. Well, she's far to the left, she sees the back of the right.
she asked me to come on the show, and I figured, you know, all you got to do is sit there, maintain your cool, and give the facts as they are, and see what her response would be.
But her whole idea of stimulating the economy was laying some sod on the National Mall and fixing some retaining walls.
Yeah, she said, well, that would create jobs. I said, well, I think the guys that work for the Park Service would do that anyway. I said, but you know, if that's the case, you can justify any spending.
And that's exactly what they've done, isn't it?
Yes. The purpose of a stimulus bill is to coke a fire and to get it burning real hot, real fast, so the economy doesn't continue in a free fall. And what we had anticipated in a stimulus, and actually the president had been in office only 1 week, and he visited the Republican caucus, would be to come up with something that would restart manufacturing. Because if you don't restart manufacturing, you know, nothing is going to happen economically. Instead, we got this bill that had about 4% infrastructure. Transportation dollars is relatively insignificant. But what it tried to do was to take, you know, short-term, long-term stuff, put it all together in one bill and call it stimulus. Well, you don't put long-term stuff into a stimulus bill. So that was just the beginning of whether or not something was absolutely necessary to go in. If it goes into stimulus, it's directly off budget. It goes, you know, to the national debt deficit first, then the national debt. If it's something that's part of a regular budget, then it's supposed to be paid for with the revenue coming in to offset the spending. So that was the first problem on whether or not something should be the stimulus or the regular spending budget bills.
But you're a champion for small and medium-sized businesses, which I advocate for every week. I'm one of them myself. And we have a mutual friend in Crystal Lake who owns a manufacturing facility, one of your constituents, Darren Light.
Mm-hmm.
And I've traveled the world with Darren as he's been out there promoting his company. And, you know, he's very passionate about his business, and he wants to grow his business. He would invest in this business if it were the right thing to do. He would add jobs if it was the right thing to do. And a couple of things really stick out. Not just my good friend, our mutual friend Darren, but all the folks around the United States that I'm talking to on a regular basis, no one's doing cartwheel down the aisles about this stimulus package. I don't see any American entrepreneur is saying that this is going to create jobs.
Well, the reason is the fact that it's not a stimulus. We have a Chrysler facility in our district that makes the two small Jeeps, that's the Patriot, the Compass, and then the Caliper, all on the same. It's an international frame, and actually, when they're operating at full steam, they're exporting 47% of their product. 42% of their product, which is astounding.
Which is, I mean, for American manufacturers, that's
right.
That's a staggering number.
And of that 42%, about a quarter was to NAFTA countries. So this is really an international automobile built in our district. And what we thought is, the automobile sales have gone from 17 million to 10 million. we've lost 7 million sales of 7 million automobiles in the United States at an average price of $25,000. That's $175 billion directly out of the economy, and then you have to multiply that times any economic factor. You're up to over $1 trillion. And you know, you're talking about the guy selling pizza across the street, the lawyer in the town where cars
sure.
are made, doing a
all
will.
The support industries,
right?
It's huge. What
we thought is, if you give people a $5,000 voucher, I could go to that Chrysler dealer and buy a $20,000 four-wheel drive Patriot. My wife and I have been lusting over that. We've got three that have been in and out of college and three caravans, and two have over 150,000 miles. But I could buy a Patriot for $15,000, or a little under $300 a month for 5 years. Now, what that would do is the guys at Chrysler would go back on the line. The dealers would start getting their money. The salesmen would get paid. The state and local governments would start refilling their coffers on sales tax revenues. The OEMs would go back to work. The economy would go back to normal. I mean, because you're restarting the normal process of manufacturing.
But this was never about business in the first place.
No, it was about people throwing their pet projects in, such as $50 million to the National Endowment for the Arts. And somewhere in there, I talked to one of the Republican members of the Appropriations Committee, there is in fact $30 million for protecting the salt marsh mouse.
I know you took my. I was exactly going to say that. I was stunned. But Nancy Pelosi was happy with that, though. She thought that's her district.
Yeah, that's. And I don't know if she defended that openly, but I mean, it is full of earmarks.
Yeah,
earmarks is where money goes to a specified project, and so when you're looking at $780 something billion, you know, we thought, well, can you stimulate the economy? Our plan, Neil, would have been, if we can get back to 15 million cars, and we would give a $5,000 voucher, that's $75 million. But $75 billion.
Right, which is less than 10% of what
right.
this stimulus is.
But it actually stimulates the economy, and people, instead of being on unemployment compensation, start paying more taxes because they're going back to work.
Sure.
And that also restocks the federal coffers on it. Then, I mean, that's called trickle up. Where you light the fire at the bottom as opposed to pouring all these billions in from the top just as a temporary patch to pay some bills. And likewise, and there was a provision in the Senate bill, and then there's a provision in the Senate bill that provided for about a $1,500 break if you buy a new car. That was diminished to $300. That's not enough to get me to buy a new car.
So what we're doing is we're sucking $1 trillion out of the economy.
Yes.
What is going to happen? And the other thing, Congressman, that really struck me the other night in the joint session of Congress is when President Obama said, I get it, right? I mean, I get it. I understand what's going on here. But what was amazing to me, nothing in that speech had anything to do with international trade,
no.
with Americans making things, creating things, and exporting these things.
Right.
And I know that you've supported all of our trade agreements.
Oh, yeah.
But how could he miss something so big, such an opportunity to create jobs, you know, right here at our fingertips?
I think because he doesn't understand manufacturing. You know, Greenspan, Alan Greenspan, bless his heart, never believed that manufacturing was important. He said that what we lose in manufacturing jobs we more than compensate for in value-added, high-end, white-collar jobs, but could never define those. And because manufacturing is so important, you have to have a manufacturing mind to know what goes into making something. And if a nation doesn't make things and relies upon the service sector, then it relies upon other nations making things, so the service sector could be tongue and groove with that. That's the problem.
So what do we have to do to incentivize the two things that you're very passionate about, and you've done a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
small and medium-sized companies that are manufacturing? You know, what do we got to do if we put... Because, you know, I've read, and I believe I've seen this even on your website, that 70% of new job growth over the last decade has been by small and medium-sized companies. And 13 times more patents are created by small and medium-sized companies than large companies. Mm-hmm. They are the repository of American creativity and ingenuity. That is the way out of this economic mess. The manufacturing passion that you have, together with your small business passion, how can we put those two things together?
Well, what we have to do is we have to restart production going again, and we use that $5,000 voucher on cars, and then.
But that's probably not going to go anywhere, right?
Well, if we're introducing a separate bill on that, and Chrysler Corporation likes the bill. They understand that we're going to be, and the International Automobile Dealers likes the bill because you can't discriminate between homegrown and foreign cars on something like that. And then we're also going to introduce the amendment that was ripped out in conference that allowed for a $15,000 refundable tax credit if you buy a house. What's interesting about this in the area where I live, Rockford, Illinois. You can buy a brand new home for $150,000, and that means that automatically it's lowered to $135,000, and it's refundable, meaning you get $15,000 tax credit even if you're not paying $15,000 a year in taxes. I mean, this is a real kick in the pants, and the way the conference report that reconciled the House and the Senate portion, by the time they were done, all that was left of the $1,500 advantage on buying a car was reduced to $300, and the $15,000 tax credit was reduced to $8,000, but only for a first-time house buyer, which is defined as a person who's not owned a home in 3 years. So that would not kickstart the housing industry, because you have to wait till the person sells his first home, then moves into the second home, before the first-time home buyers be able to buy, be able to buy that house. And if we restart the housing industry with a generous tax credit like that, that would cost about $95 billion estimated. And the voucher on automobiles, the fire goes at the foot of the problem, because it breaks loose affordability of the American taxpayer to go out and start purchasing homes and purchasing cars again. And that's how we right ourselves in this economy. And that's how the small business manufacturers and everybody in the manufacturing line begins to benefit.
But what is the, real, will this happen? I mean, is the possibility there that these things can pass?
Well, we know for sure that there are going to be more stimulus bills. I mean, they're going to be coming down the line. In fact, the Democrats are spending so much money, I can't even keep track of. I think in one 10-day period, it was $1.5 trillion got spent. And, I mean, we know they'll be back. We're going to continue to work on trying to move housing and cars through the lines of production, because we know once those things start to break loose, then people go back to work. I mean, look at the manufacturers and the businesses that are involved in the sale of a home.
But don't forget about the small businesses and medium-sized businesses and exporters. Because I also believe that in that package, and you mentioned with your auto manufacturing in Rockford, mm-hmm. Exports are so essential.
Well, they
having
are,
market access, having market in those free trade agreements. How do we get Colombia passed?
It's interesting. I mean, the Colombian is, that's almost as easy to support as the Australian Free Trade Agreement.